your right to an opinion is not what makes your opinion right. The only thing that makes your opinion or my opinion, your thoughts or mine, the only thing that makes those right is if they line up with the Word of God.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, join Jeremy Pearsons as he opens with the question, who is God? Take a journey through the Word of God that will reveal who He is to you in a new and exciting way.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons, and I am thrilled and honored to be with you today. And for the next couple of weeks, you know, it is always an honor for me. Anytime my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, call and say, Jeremy, we've got an assignment for you. We want you to do a week or two of broadcast and go with what the Lord has got on your heart. So I want to say right at the top of these broadcasts, I am so thankful to be a part of this ministry, Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I am thankful to be a part of your life right now. And I'm grateful to be a part of this family. I love my grandparents. I love my parents and my family. You know, there is nothing I would trade for anything else, for any other situation. I love this dynamic. You know, I've been asked that all growing up. What's it like to have Kenneth Copeland as your grandfather? I remember one time he and I were in a store. I think he was buying me rollerblades, if I remember right. And this guy walked up to us and he recognized Brother Copeland, and he looked at me and he said, son, what's it like to have a star as your grandfather? I don't know. I'm sure it was wasted on me. I'm thinking, this is Papa. What are you talking about? But you know what? I admire them, and I know many of you do as well. And I thank God for the assignment on this ministry, the assignment on this family, and we are honored and thrilled to be used by the Lord in the body of Christ, as so many of you are, and people all over the world are at work right now in the kingdom of God, winning souls and seeing people delivered and set free. And it is our joy to be a part of that with you and with the rest of the body of Christ. So Mimi and Papa, thank you. I appreciate it very much. I want you to get ready, because you and I are under assignment over the next couple of weeks. There are some things in the Word of God that we are going to approach with boldness, and we are going to learn some things these next few days and next couple of weeks. We are going to hear some things that cause us to grow in our relationship with the Lord. So do what it takes to be a part of these broadcasts. Amen? Let's pray, and we'll get right into the Word. Father, we thank You today. We glorify You, Lord, for Your great goodness towards us, Your great love towards us. Father, we come boldly before Your Word today. We come boldly the way Your Word instructs us to do. And we expect to receive things from You today and tomorrow and over the next several days and a couple of weeks. We expect to hear things and see things that we hadn't seen and heard before. And it is by the help of the Holy Spirit of God within us. And I thank You, Lord, this is Your Word delivered under Your anointing by the help of Your Spirit to Your people. So we look to You and we receive from You all good things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, if you've got your Bibles, let's go first of all, excuse me, to the book of John chapter 4. Now, as you're turning there, let me set this up. There's a couple of statements and a question I have for you right here at the beginning of this, and I want to set this up and have you begin to think along a certain track. As we track in these sessions, I want you to be thinking with me where we're going the whole time. Now, let me put it to you like this. I'm going to give you a statement, and I'm going to let you fill in the blank, okay? I know a lot of you don't like looking back on school, high school, college, and a lot of tests, fill in the blank questions, but just bear with me a second. I'm going to give you a statement and let you fill in the blank. Are you ready? God is blank. Now you get to fill in that blank. I want to know how you fill in the blank. God is blank. Now before you answer that, you've got to take a look back at history, thousands of years of history, and even take inventory in your own life, because there are so many different people who have filled that blank in so many different ways. Now, when I ask you, God is blank, or I say to you, God is, and then I let you fill in that space right there, I am not looking for what you've heard somebody else say about God. I'm not looking for your opinion on what somebody else says about their opinion about who God is or what He is, because as you know, so many people have filled that blank in so many different ways, and I dare say that there is a lot of confusion about that blank. Because you've got people who say God is love, God is good, God is faithful, and you've got people that will say God is the one who took my family member, the one who caused this disaster, the judge, the angry, the vengeful. If you've got people filling in the blank with love and angry judge, then listen, we are confused as a body. So here's our assignment in these sessions, to attack that confusion and not be confused about who God is anymore. Let me ask you something. Do you get God? Now, I know that's a big, big statement and a big question, but I'm serious about that. Do you get God? I know you might be thinking, now look, God is so big and God is so vast, nobody could ever get God. I appreciate that that's your opinion, and I know you have a right to an opinion. I understand that. But I want you to understand that your right to an opinion is not what makes your opinion right. The only thing that makes your opinion or my opinion, your thoughts or mine, the only thing that makes those right is if they line up with the Word of God. So let me read something to you. You're in John chapter 4. Let me read this to you out of the book of Ephesians chapter 3. And this is from the Amplified Translation. Beginning in verse 17, it says, "May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make His permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love." Verse 18, "that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend," listen to this, "and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love, what is the breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth of it." Listen to this, verse 19, "that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself." Now that's the Word's opinion on this. He says, I want you to know Him through experience for yourselves. And not just know Him, but know the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of God Himself and the love of God. So no more saying, oh, God is so big we couldn't understand. The love of God is, it's so vast we don't really know what it's all about. Listen, you may not know today, and you may not know fully tomorrow, but there is no reason for you to know any less tomorrow than you do today. As a matter of fact, you and I should be growing every single day in our knowledge and in the fullness of who God is and the knowledge of His love. Now, notice this statement here. He says, I want you to know practically through experience for yourselves. That's why I said to you, I'm not interested in filling in that blank, God is blank, with what somebody else has said. Now, there's a lot of great men and women of God and a lot of wonderful people born again, filled with the Spirit, preaching the truth of who He is. But it's got to come down, when you answer that question, it's got to come down to your experience with Him. Jesus said it like this, talking to His disciples. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" It's a good question. And a lot of His disciples said, well, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, some say you're a prophet. And a lot of that same kind of thing is happening even today. Who is Jesus? And you got some that say, well, Jesus was, He was probably a prophet. He was probably a good teacher, had a lot of good ideas. Listen, as true as some of that may be, it is not the truth. Because when Peter answered the question after Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Jesus then asked and said, who do you say that I am? How do you fill in the blank? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus, that's how we fill in the blank. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So, as we get into these sessions, our goal here is to begin to recognize God for who He is. Do you have the ability to recognize Him? Do you recognize God when you see Him? Because He's at work in our lives and in our world, in the world we live in and day out, day after day after day. God is at work through the moving of His Spirit, through men and women on this planet who say, God, You are my God, take my life and use it. He is using people and working through people. And the question I have for you is, do you see it? Do you recognize it? Let's go to the book of John chapter 4. This is an account, the life and ministry of Jesus. And I want to begin in verse 3. He, speaking of Jesus, left Judea and departed again to Galilee, but He needed to go through Samaria. So He came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near their plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from His journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. You know, every word of this is crucial. Every word of this has revelation packed in it. And I want to draw your attention quickly to something. Notice it says, Jacob's well was there in verse 6. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from His journey, sat thus by the well. I want you to remember that Jesus, on this earth, living this life and in the ministry that God called Him to, He did it as a man. He was a man. Just like you are and just like I am, He did it as a human being, a man. And notice this. I mean, Jesus, Son of God, all-powerful, sat by the well because He was tired. Isn't that wonderful of the Spirit of God just to show us these little things about who Jesus is? Now, notice this in verse 7. It says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to Him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, listen to this, He said to her, if you knew. Those three words are very important words for the whole rest of our study, for the whole time that we're going to spend in dealing with these things. Jesus says to her, if you knew. In other words, you don't know. So here's a woman having a face-to-face conversation with Jesus, and she doesn't know who she's talking to. And Jesus says, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water. The woman said to Him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. But the water that I give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw. Notice what's happening here. Jesus is endeavoring to engage with this woman based on their surroundings, based on the situation, whatever He can use to lock in with her. And I believe He is endeavoring to solicit one thing from this woman, and it's the same thing that He is looking for from you and from me. And it's faith. It's belief in who He is. Now, the approach He's taking up until now, He's just using the surroundings that they have around them. He's using the water that's there. But He says to her, if you knew. Remember the three words, these very important three words, if you knew. What do those words mean? You don't know. Jesus is saying to her, you don't know who you're talking to. And He says, look, if you knew who I was, you would have asked me for water and I would have given it to you. But did she pick up on it? Did she realize what He was trying to say to her? No, she's locked into this natural, physical world where she sees water and she says, you don't have anything to draw with. Where are you going to get water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? Which, of course, the answer is, well, yeah, actually. But she doesn't see it, does she? You don't know. She didn't know. So Jesus goes on, and every time He opens His mouth and speaks to her, He's giving her another indicator of who He is and where He's coming from. He says, if you drink the water that I'll give, you'll never thirst again because it'll become a living fountain inside of you, springing up to everlasting life. Does she pick up on that? No. She says, give me this water so I don't ever have to come here again. Is she picking up on it? Not at all. So Jesus is going to take, we'll call it a more direct approach with this woman now. In verse 15, she said to her, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Wow. Wow. She has picked up on what Jesus is laying down. He takes the approach of, look, this is water, but I have a different kind of water. She doesn't pick up on it. So he's going to take a more direct approach. And actually, Jesus begins to operate in one of the gifts of the Spirit that you find in the book of Corinthians. You see the Spirit of God working in him and through a word of knowledge about what's going on in her life. And he said, go call your husband. She says, I don't have one. He says, you're right. You've had five, and the guy you're with now is not even one of them. And she says, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Now, here's where this whole thing gets so fascinating to me, becomes so interesting to me, because the Spirit of God chooses to reveal to us what this woman knows about God. Notice what she said already. She said, why are you, a Jew, talking to me, a Samaritan? Listen to her knowledge. These are denominational lines that you just don't cross. And then she has enough wherewithal, we'll call it spiritual knowledge, we'll call it knowledge about God, to look at him and say, I perceive you are a prophet. And before Jesus can even answer that, she says, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. And she says, very next verse, very next breath, our fathers worshiped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that, I try to put myself in this position where all of a sudden this woman becomes a spiritual expert on worship. Jesus has just revealed to her the deepest, darkest corners of her past. You don't have a husband, you've had five, and now you've got a guy who's not even your husband. She says, you're a prophet. Let's talk about worship. That's amazing to me. This goes on and on, and Jesus answers and says, woman, believe me. What does he say? Believe me. Put faith in me, recognize me, believe me. The hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Now listen to this right here. The woman says to him, I know the Messiah is coming. She looks at Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and says, well, I know the Messiah is coming. Here is a woman who knows enough about God to talk about denominational lines, to talk about the gift of prophecy and the office of a prophet. She knows enough about God to talk about worship. And she even knows enough to say, I am looking for the Messiah. Is it possible that somebody who knows all of this, somebody we would call them churched. This is not an unchurched person. This is a churched person. They've heard and they've seen and they've got head knowledge about some stuff. Is it possible for a churched person to be in the presence of Jesus himself and not know who they were talking to? This is evidence right here that it's possible. And the alarming thing to me, the startling thing to me, is the thought that this is still going on today, that there are demonstrations of the move of God, of the power of God, of the presence of God, of the love of God, and people don't recognize it for who it is. They don't recognize him for who he is. Now, in going before the Lord on this, as we begin to wrap up this session, I want to know why. I want to know why and how it's possible that somebody could be in this position and have no idea who they were talking to. All you have to do here, this is what the Spirit of the Lord is directing us to do. Go back and look at what we know about her. We know through what the Spirit of God revealed through Jesus, that she's had five husbands, and now she's with a man that's not her husband. Now, I don't care what day and age you live in. I don't care what part of the world you're from or what your culture is like. You don't go through marriage and divorce, 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 and end up in the arms of a stranger. That doesn't happen to you without you coming out on the other end with a twisted and distorted view of love. The answer to the question, how could this woman be in the presence of Jesus and not know who it was? She didn't know love. This is what the Lord revealed to us about her, that she's been possibly through bitter heartache and divorce over and over and over. And she's had men promise her, I will love you, I will be with you, and I will be for you and never against you. And every time they promised, beginning with the first to the last, they let her down time after time after time. And she came out on the other end of that with a twisted and distorted and completely skewed picture and vision of what love is. Now, let me briefly read this to you out of the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God. Remember what Jesus said to her? If you knew, or in other words, you don't know. If you don't know love, you don't know God. She stood there having a conversation with love himself. She was looking eye to eye with love himself and had no idea who she was talking to. This is where we must begin in these sessions, and as we begin to talk about the ability to recognize God and fill in the blank, the first word you have to put in that blank is God is love. If you don't get love, you don't get God. Now, everywhere we go from here is going to be based on that statement. God is love. When you recognize that you are loved, then you recognize God. Father, today we receive the great love of God towards us. Father, right now, by faith, we begin to open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and our ears to be open and receptive to your great love that you have for us. No matter what we've been through, no matter what we've gone through, and every trial that has tried to twist our perspective of love, right now we put it aside and we look into the eyes of love himself, and we receive the great love you have for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I consider him more like the wind, you know, because he's always there. You feel him everywhere you go. You know he's there every morning when you wake up. So you know, no matter wherever you go, you know he's always going to be there. I mean, just like the wind.
One word would be love.
Creator of the universe. All powerful.
I would say God. God is forgiving, and he's loving, he's kind, he's patient.
Who is God to you? An awesome force that demands obedience? An intimidating authority eager to punish? Or a loving father who wants the best for your life? All the mystery, myths, and confusion about who God is can leave you uncertain. The Discovering God package, featuring Jeremy Pearson's innovative book, Hello, My Name is God, and Sarah Hart Pearson's musical devotion, Love Songs for the King, is a book and CD set that reintroduces God's relationship with us. Together, Jeremy and Sarah Pearson's minister out of their desire to see everyone come to know the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Jeremy's groundbreaking book, Hello, My Name is God, reveals God's desire to know you personally and how God wants you to know him intimately. The Discovering God package is designed so that you can know God by experiencing him for yourself. Order the Discovering God package today for only $15. This package includes Jeremy Pearson's new book, Hello, My Name is God, and Sarah Pearson's new praise and worship CD, Love Songs for the King. For a product discount and faster processing, order through our website at kcm.org. or call using our toll-free number, 800-600-7395. See God in a new and personal way. Order your Discovering God package today.
I am so excited and thrilled about some of the new product that Kenneth Copeland Ministries is offering. I want to talk first of all about something that is so special to me. My wife, Sarah, has just recorded a brand new CD. This is her first one, and it's called Love Songs for the King. And I am telling you, if you are a worshiper, if you love to be in the presence of God, you've got to get a hold of this. There are 12 songs, all of which she's written. I was listening to this thing before I came out here to be on these broadcasts, and it just fills up the room with the presence of God and the anointing. Get a hold of this. Worship with this. You're going to love it. I love these songs, and I love this singer. That's what I like to say. They're beautiful. She's got a beautiful voice. It's my favorite in all the world. You're going to really enjoy it. And then this is a real thrill for me. My first book, it's called Hello, My Name is God. Now, please understand, this is not intended to be autobiographical, all right? Hello, My Name is God. This book really is the content with which we're talking about in these broadcasts this week and next week. And of course, we have our limited time here and we can't get to everything. But I encourage you to get a hold of this and dig into it. There's so much in here about the ability to recognize God when you see Him and how He demonstrates Himself in our lives. And that's really the reason that I wrote this and began to minister on some of these things, was because I was hungry to see God for myself and hungry to bring people into the place where they recognize Him as well. So there's some exciting things that we want you to get a hold of. We also want you to know that our family, the Copeland family, is coming to a city near you, hopefully. We are coming with the Blessing in Action Copeland family meetings December 3rd through the 5th in Orlando, Florida. Now, my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria, are sending us out. My wife, Sarah, and I, my parents, George and Terry, Uncle John and Marty, Aunt Kelly and Steve, all of us are coming to Orlando in December. We want to come and just be a part of life with you. We are ready to minister the Word of God to you, ready to bring you into the presence of God and come in ourselves and enjoy a mighty move of the Holy Spirit. You're going to come and get to know the living Word of God. Look, without the Word, this family has nothing to talk about, and you don't either, but we have the Word of God. So if you want more information about that meeting, please visit kcm.org. You want to be a part of these sessions this week. I've got a surprise for you on Friday. I'm not going to tell you about it just yet, but I will remind you that we love you and God loves you. And like Kenneth and Gloria always say, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Visit our website at kcm.org to purchase this broadcast on DVD or CD, or to order a copy of today's product online. There you'll find a resource of teaching materials and study tools designed to help you grow in your walk with the Lord. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
And you have to fill in the blank. God is blank. You have to fill that in with love. That's who He is. That's what He does. That's what He gives. That's what He has. That is everything that comes from God.